This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Dave Jagler, 13 minutes from now, on his experience last night transitioning from calling Nats games in the radio booth to television with FP Santangelo. Also on Gio Gonzalez flirting with a no-hitter and on the team's trade deadline acquisition of Brandon Kinstler. They have now added three different arms in the bullpen and Howie Kendrick over the last few weeks to try to ramp up for a postseason run. The Jets yesterday had a fan forum talking about the health of players in football and, among other things, basically an opportunity for fans to grill the commissioner on whatever questions they have about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the conversation centered around CTE, the trauma of head contact for National Football League players. Jamal Adams took part in the festivities. He is a safety who was drafted in the first round out of LSU. Matter of fact, before he flew up the boards into that top five mix, you and I were kind of hoping he would be there for the Redskins in the middle of the first round.
Oh, and I had some covet on that one.
6 weeks before the draft, it became very obvious that there was no way that was going to happen. But here is Jamal Adams when answering questions from fans with the commissioner yesterday, a partnership with the National Institute of Health conference that was had, where he was asked basically about his concerns and fears about playing in the NFL and head trauma.
If I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. I would be at peace. Literally. I would be at peace. And that's not a lie. Like, it's so much sacrifice that we go through as a team and just connecting as one and winning ball games. It's nothing like playing the game of football. But again, I'm all about making the game safer. That's all I can say about it.
That's a weird turn there at the end when he says, but I'm all about making the game safer. First of all, who claps when he says that? A young person entering his first year in the NFL in his young 20s says that he's comfortable dying on the field. And like these people who are like just entertained by this guy running around playing football go, yeah!
Literally.
Why would you clap for that?
I don't know. I don't know. That is one of those.
That reaction is weirder than his comment.
Me.
His comment, by the way, to me, is bone-chilling.
It's troubling, and it's an attitude that the sport has yet to escape, frankly. Because you think of the coach in the middle of nowhere, Texas. We'll play bull in the ring. We're going to get some toughness in you. Head on a hat. You get your bell rung. Sit your quitter butt down. There's still too much of that in this game. We've evolved, but it's not out of the game yet. And the frivolous sort of, we're modern-day gladiators type attitude, you know, as the game's gotten faster and stronger, and yes, safer to some degree because some of the rule changes, as people call it, wussification or whatever. You haven't stopped watching, though, for 1 second. While the game has advanced in a lot of ways, again, you still have this instilled attitude that it is, I don't know how to describe it, but it as you said, bone-chilling is kind of the right way to put
it. If I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the football field.
I understand the point he was trying to make, meaning I love the game. And we sacrifice an awful lot to play this game at this level. That's kind of what he meant.
While this is a rattling comment that sticks with you when you hear it. I mean, when I read this last night, it sat with me for a little while. I understand his point. I've talked to tons of NFL players, a lot of Redskins about this over the last 7 years now. And most of them say, I love the game so much, I will risk what I need to continue to play. I say, hey, are you worried at all about your career well after you're done playing and your life and what's going to happen? Yes, sometimes I worry about that, but basically the point is the juice is worth the squeeze.
Yeah.
I think this comment is what he was saying. I love football. If I'm risking death playing football, I'm okay with that. That's my translation. But to say that the football field is the perfect place to die in those terms and that wording, that diction, that's frightening to think about.
It certainly is. And again, it's
and then the clapping after Danny.
Yeah, that part was the weirdest to me.
That gives me just a bad feeling about everything. It's just
it's
like
uncomfortable.
I just picture these people in Jets jerseys going, "Yeah, this guy's willing to die for us."
Literally.
I and I'm not trying to make light of this. It's a serious thing, but that really is weird to me.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. I think the.
Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine cheering that?
No.
Literally.
No, I can't. And again,
people comp it to gladiators and
that's
like,
what it is.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like he's willing to go out into the ring and die for us.
Yeah, we sacrifice an awful lot to play this game. We sacrifice an awful lot and we're willing to do whatever it takes to win. You can clap for that. But the sort of idea that it's almost like I aspire to that because I'd go out in a blaze of glory. It's nonsense. It's a little bit silly. And again, that was off-putting to hear those folks kind of clap that. But whatever.
Here's one thing I'll say, and I wonder if you agree with this. I am more comfortable now than I am about like 20 years ago that players now know what they're signing up for.
I still don't think they do.
Well, they know a lot more.
They know more.
But here is what we do know, okay? If I'm Ryan Kerrigan as an example, I know that I'm probably going to, look, they just examined 111 brains of former NFL players. 110 of them had CTE. If I'm Ryan Kerrigan, I know that when they study my brain after I'm done playing, I probably am going to have CTE. If I am Junior Gallette, I know that long after I'm done playing, or if I am Spencer Long, I know that there's a chance I'm going to have mental issues. You know, they're like so many of the guys in the movie Concussion, that I'm going to have to be medicated for different pains and different aches, and that my post-career life is going to be worse than it would be if I didn't play football. Players know that now.
Well,
they are warned about that.
Yeah.
They see that.
Beyond that, though, here's the thing about that study. You're talking about the Boston University medical study.
Correct.
That sort of is now sweeping the country. And, of course, the dismissers and the climate deniers, whatever you want to call them, are the ones saying, it's nothing. It's self-selective. So 110 of 111 NFL brains. And, again, that's a self-selective part of the survey. Here's the number that jumped out at me even more so. There were 91 other football players at various levels, high school, college, non-NFL players. So you don't have those extra 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, a decade of this contact. 74% of the non-NFL brains had it, which tells you that even amateur football, okay, it tells you at levels that aren't where you get paid millions of dollars are having.
Do we have the variable that we still need, which is people who never played football being
not
studied
enough
for this?
Not enough. And the tests are getting better, but still nowhere close. In other words, if I'm just clumsy and I bang my head a bunch of times, am I at a greater risk?
I can't
risk?
Say how many times getting into a car or something, I've hit my head real hard and stood up and hit a sign over it, whatever it is.
We don't know hockey players. We don't know soccer players. We don't know a million different things. But I will
say
this.
I wonder if 78% of humans have some type of CTE after they die.
Entirely possible. I know this. There's a correlation. And even the NFL's own spokesman admitted it. But I would go to this. It's because it's not tangible. It's not a knee. It's not a broken leg. It's not a limp. It's not a cane that you're walking with. It still feels far away. And we build these guys up to be invincible. They have to convince themselves that they're invincible every single day to go out there and compete the way that they do. Because of that, that flies directly in the face of you will have a problem later. Nobody can make that bargain in the short term. A couple guys have, and they've retired at, age 24.
Rob on Twitter says, so we're grilling a guy for not feeling the way you think he should. Not everyone wants to live in fear. I don't know if you've been listening to the segment. That's the opposite of what I'm doing. I had no problem with his comments. What I said is that they are chilling. They are thought-provoking. They are rattling around in my bones. This is a guy who's 23 basically saying, I'm willing to die on a football field. I'm not telling him how to think. I'm not telling him anything's wrong with his comment. I actually said I understand his comment because I've talked to enough players who have said similar things to me. John on Twitter says the perfect place to die for me would be many years later in my sleep. And he says, no one clapped.
Yeah, no one applauded.
The only part I had a problem with from that clip is the clapping. That's what I have a problem with. Not the comment from the player, which I think is, you think it's misguided. I understand that's how players think, but I'm saying they know what they're getting into now, and they're rolling the dice.
Yeah, he simply means we sacrifice everything, and I love football.
Yeah.
It's a weird way to say I love football, but that's kind of what he's talking about. The clapping for that phraseology, though, is uncomfortable for me.
Dave Jagler, on the call of last night's 8 innings of no-hit ball from Gio Gonzalez, took a no-hitter into the 9th. We'll ask him about that, the Kinsler trade, whether or not the Nats did enough to make a World Series push. Next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.